Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Revelation and will be continuing today with part one of a message entitled The Last Judgment. So let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 20 verse 1 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
As we've mentioned on numerous occasions, the chapter divisions in the Bible were not originally in these texts. And sometimes the chapter divisions can be helpful, and sometimes they can be a bit of a distraction or a hindrance because we lose the continuity of thought. So that's why I wanted to go back and begin in verse 19 of chapter 19. And so we read there, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with a sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And so we come in the chronology now to the setting up of the kingdom that has long been anticipated. The kingdom that was promised by God to the patriarchs, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to their descendants and to all the servants of Jesus Christ, whether it's in the Old Testament period or those during the present dispensation, this is what we've all been waiting for. You remember the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here in this 20th chapter, we read about the establishing of that kingdom. And it begins with the incarceration of Satan. And so we read here of the angel with the key to the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand, and he lays hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, Satan, and he binds him up and casts him into the bottomless pit, and there he will be for a period of 1,000 years. Now, all of the woes that the world has ever known have had a direct connection back to this creature, Satan. Because, of course, he is the one who originally rebelled against God, and he is the one who seduced man and turned man against God. And he has been the one and is presently still the one working behind the scenes to bring all of the misery and the destruction and the sorrow and suffering into the world. But he is going to be removed from the earth in order that this glorious kingdom that God has promised can be established. Now, you've heard the term the millennium. The word millennium means 1,000 years. And the term the millennium in reference to the kingdom of Christ is derived from this 20th chapter. And here in this 20th chapter, we are told 6 times about this millennium, about this 1,000-year reign. Now, strangely, even though we are told over and over again in this chapter that this reign is a 1,000-year reign, there has been a huge division among Christians over this particular issue. And there are 2 or probably maybe 3 primary theological positions in regard to this particular chapter and specifically this idea of 1,000 years. The one that we hold to and the one that we believe to be the correct position is what is known as premillennialism. And what that means is simply this, that we believe that Christ will return prior to the millennium and that he is the one to set up the kingdom and to reign over that kingdom for 1,000 years. Now, there are many who hold to a view known as amillennialism or amillennialism, and the A simply means no. And so literally, they do not believe in a literal 1,000-year reign. They say 1,000 years doesn't really mean 1,000 years. It means just an indefinite period of time. And it's probably the time between the first and the second coming of Christ. But they reject the idea of it being a literal 1,000 years, even though it is stated 6 times over in this chapter that it is 1,000 years. Now, believe it or not, the amillennial position had been the more popular position from about 400 AD all the way until 1800. The vast majority of Christians during that period of time had been taught and had embraced the amillennial view that originated pretty much with a man named Augustine. Prior to Augustine, and especially with the apostles and those that followed after them, the view was the premillennial view. Then in the 1700s, there came along another view known as postmillennialism. And it's hardly possible to distinguish postmillennialism from amillennialism, but there is a slight difference. And again, both of them essentially deny that there is a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. So rather than bore you with the details of all of that, I think we can be confident that when it says 1,000 years, that is what it means. It means 1,000 years. Now, if you just think about it for a moment, of course, it tells us that the 1,000 years is going to begin with the binding of Satan. Now, those who hold to the amillennial or the postmillennial view, what they will actually tell you is that we are already in that period. That what they will try to convince us of is that Satan has already been bound. And you don't have to be a theologian to figure out that that really isn't true. Now, Satan has been limited to some extent because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, but that limitation only is in regard to those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. But apart from that, he is still actively going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter told us that. So the whole idea that this can't be taken literally and that these are figurative numbers and all of that, I think is a mistaken way to look at the passage. In the Old Testament, God gave promises to Israel that would bless the nation, but that would also extend blessing to the entire world. And throughout the prophecies, we have little pictures given to us of this kingdom that Israel was expecting to dawn. They were expecting the Messiah to come and establish a kingdom. And maybe you remember, if you read the first chapter of the book of Acts, after Jesus has already gone to the cross, he's already risen from the dead, he's actually going to shortly ascend into heaven. The apostles ask him this question. They say, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Remember, Israel was a theocratic kingdom. And remember, Israel's great king was David. And if you know your Bible, if you know your Old Testament, you know that God gave to David a promise that one of his descendants would sit upon his throne and would rule over the house of Jacob forever. This is the realization of those promises that we're reading about here in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Now, interestingly, John does not give us any details of this period. He simply tells us about its inauguration, and then he passes from it and takes us swiftly to the end of the thousand-year reign. Why didn't John give us any detail? Because the Old Testament prophets had already given us all of the detail we would ever need to know about that particular kingdom. And I think it would be helpful if we took a quick little journey through Isaiah to look at this kingdom as prophesied by Isaiah. So if you want to turn back to Isaiah, start in the second chapter, we'll get a picture of what this thousand-year reign is going to be like. Isaiah chapter 2, it says, Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So this is going to be a kingdom where peace will finally come. And of course, when we look a little more specifically at the prophecies of Isaiah concerning the Messiah himself, perhaps you remember he is referred to as the Prince of Peace. But turn over to the 11th chapter of Isaiah. And here we get a picture of both the king, the Lord Jesus, and of the conditions during his reign. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And then it goes on to describe his activity Verse 4, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And now listen to this. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. The weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. This is again a reference to Jesus, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Such a beautiful picture. Turn over to the 35th chapter of Isaiah. Verse 4. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. One more passage, the 65th chapter of Isaiah. There are many, many other similar kinds of pictures given to us in the various prophets, but obviously we don't have time to go through all of that. So let's look at verse 18 of chapter 65. It says, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So these are just a few of the pictures that are given to us in the prophets of this period of time that we're reading about here in Revelation chapter 20. So turning back over to the 20th chapter. Now, Satan will be bound, which will eliminate a large amount of the sin that has been the experience of man from the beginning. But sin will not be entirely eliminated, because there will still be people who will be sinful and rebellious, but that kind of behavior will not be tolerated at all. That's why the Bible tells us that Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. It means that righteousness will be strictly enforced in this period of time, and there will not be any toleration of evil whatsoever. But notice at the end of verse 3, and we'll get to it in a moment, it says, but after these things, or after this thousand-year period, Satan must be released for a little while. Now, that doesn't sound like a very good plan, does it? But we'll see why that's going to happen in a moment. And so John goes on and he describes, he says, I saw thrones and they sat on them and judgment was committed to them. Jesus said to his 12 disciples, my Father has committed a kingdom to me and I am committing that kingdom to you. And you will sit with me. You will sit upon 12 thrones and you will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jesus gave a specific promise to those men that they would reign with him on thrones. That is also something that is given to the church. We as God's people will be the ones who will rule and reign with him. Jesus said to him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me in my Father's throne. And so this is what's being referred to here. When Jesus comes and sets up this kingdom, it will be his church that will administrate that kingdom. Amazing, isn't it? We will actually be the administrators of the kingdom, and we will begin our service by judging along with him the nations. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here we have a reference to the first resurrection, and we also have a reference to the second death. The first resurrection began with the resurrection of Christ. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, Christ, the first fruits. So Jesus and those saints that rose with him, and maybe you remember in Matthew's gospel, Matthew tells us something that has been, quite frankly, puzzling to many. But he states it unequivocally, that when Jesus rose from the dead, many of the saints who had died also rose and were seen alive in the streets of Jerusalem. So when Jesus rose from the dead, it was in fulfillment, actually, of the Jewish feast of first fruits. And it happened to be on the very day that that feast was celebrated. And on that day of the Feast of First Fruits, the priest would take the first fruits of the harvest to come, and the priest would wave them before the Lord, and they were a representative of the entire harvest. That's why Paul refers to Jesus as the first fruits of those who rise from the dead. He and those that he brought back from the dead at his resurrection, they are the ones who began what is referred to here as the first resurrection. The first resurrection will come to a conclusion with the resurrection that happens here at the inauguration of the millennium. So Jesus and the first fruits rose. Sometime in the future, there will be the rapture of the church, which is, in a sense, another aspect of the resurrection. And simultaneous to the rapture, the dead in Christ are going to rise. So the great resurrection, the resurrection of the living, will happen simultaneous with the rapture. But then, this of course all occurs before the tribulation period, but then during the tribulation period, many will be put to death. Many will die who are believers, and they will be resurrected, as we're reading here, they will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period and as we go into the millennium. And this is the final phase of the first resurrection. And so he says, Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, for over such the second death has no power. That is a way of referring to eternal death.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Revelation in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part two of The Last Judgment. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Last Judgment. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3288. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.